Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 48, The Christian Way is the Way. Today is Friday, May 23rd, 2008. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Thank you for coming here today, Online Church, Pastor Paul's podcast. Did you bring anybody with you? Or in other words, did you tell anyone about the podcast? I am hoping that you will tell someone about the podcast because that means that you have received from the message and been blessed by it. So you're going to want to share that with other people. Right now, the podcast is not hosted with any other I don't even know what they're called, you know, like Podcast Pickle and, you know, who, I don't even have the names for all of them. But anyways, word of mouth is the only way people are going to hear about this podcast. So hopefully you are going to spread the word. And this message today, well, let's get a couple announcements out of the way first. Basically, in order to subscribe to the podcast, you're going to want to go to, write this down or make a mental note, www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, and you're going to find the show notes at the blog. That's Pastor Paul's blog, and it's hosted by Blogger. Thank you, Blogger. And the podcast, once you subscribe, you will receive the podcast through an RSS feed. It'll automatically come to you, so you'll just have to click it on when there's a new episode. Otherwise, you're going to want to go to the blog, which again is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, and you're going to want to download the message. A new message is available every Friday until further notice. So, and what further notice means is not that we're going to stop doing the podcast, but we may do more podcasts. So the best thing all the way around is to subscribe. And if you would like more information about Pastor Paul's mission, you can go to the website, which is www.pastorpaul.org. Or if you're in the Minneapolis or North Minneapolis area, be sure to check us out. Call Pastor Paul. There is information. The address is 1000 Oliver Avenue North in Minneapolis. And our phone number at the mission is 612-521-4665. And you'll find that information at the website, pastorpaul.org. So if you're in the area. If not, and you would like to call the comment line, and again, calling the comment line is the way to go for comments, questions, or suggestions to Pastor Paul's Tongues of Fire podcast. Also, if you have a testimony, if the message, you receive the message and you have some insights about Pastor Paul's message, why don't you give us a call on the comment line? That is 1-715-808-0318. So leave a comment on the comment line. And if you'd like us to play your comment, let me know when you record that. Or you can always email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. And that's J-E-A-N-I-N-E. That's janine@pastorpaul.org. We always need volunteers. So if you are in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, be sure to call us up and volunteer. You can call the mission number, and that's on the homepage, to volunteer at Pastor Paul's mission. We need volunteers Wednesday nights between 5 and 8:30. We are working late on Wednesday night. That is when many church youth groups, families will come in, community service. People do community service through their church or through their school. Individuals who maybe they come in for groceries throughout the month, they'll want to volunteer and help Pastor Paul's mission. So you can volunteer on Wednesday nights. We also have volunteer opportunities throughout the week. We open at 7 o'clock. We're there until 4:30 Monday through Friday. So during those times, we do need volunteers. So be sure to call Carolyn, and that number is 612-521-4665 if you'd like to volunteer. If you are from another state, another country, and you would like to come in and experience Pastor Paul's mission as a volunteer, be sure to call me. Call me on the comment line, and maybe we can make some arrangements for you to come in. The comment line again is 1-715-808-0318. Now, let's get into the message. Today's message was originally recorded December 23rd, 1984. It was right before Christmas, so you'll hear some references to the Christmas holiday. The main point in the message is this: the laws of the universe point to the Christian way as being the way. And some other points that are brought up in the message. To Christians, it's time to tell the truth. Christ lives in our hearts by the Spirit. Another point talks about many ways that are not the way. And we will go there throughout our life and we'll find out that is not the way. He uses old and faded and grays and aged compared to youth and bold colors. Another reference is from Isaiah, the scripture, and it says, he says, the highway of holiness. And you want to listen for this. This is really good. Talking about the highway of holiness. And Shakespeare, Pastor Paul brings up Shakespeare again. This is good. He uses an example of rats in a maze that are shocked, and that's how they learn to find their way. And kind of using that example as that's what happens with us in a different way, but it's the same kind of thing. So he kind of uses the example as Shakespeare coming to his message is listening to Shakespeare. Forgive and forget. They're one and the same. To forgive is to forget. Well, we're going to listen to the message right now. So the message is an epic. It's epic in length. There is no music because we want to get directly right into the message. Be sure to come next Friday. Tell a friend. Bring a friend to church. Okay? In other words, subscribe to the podcast and send them the feed. God bless you. I hope you have a great week, and I hope to see you on the way.
The Christian way is the way. The devil is making suggestions that we have not yet made contact with God. I see on TV they have a little baby rounding out that isn't quite born yet and swooping down and says, "We finally made contact." We're seeing movies like Star Wars and all of these different movies, and they look harmless, and they're interesting. They're all taking away from the way. Well, what are you, anti-Santa Claus or something? No, it's okay. You can put them off in a corner someplace, but let's lift up Jesus. See, we're not going to argue all these things, but I think we need to lift up Jesus. Instead of jingle bells all the way, which is all right too. But we need to lift up Jesus, especially Christians in this day and age. You need to get out there and witness. You need to get out there and show people that there is a way. And the world thinks there's a way, but it says in the Bible, it seemeth to be right, but the end therein is death. I went that way for a long, long time, and I found out that the Christian way is the way. And also found out that the universe suggests to us that the inner structure of the universe is made to be Christian. In Acts 9:2 it says, We read of those belonging to the way. Are people reading you today? It says, we are the walking, talking epistles known and read of all men. When they see you doing those works, those fruitful works out there, they're seeing the way. When they see the way work, they say, well, you know, that's the way to go. And even the world out there, the ones that aren't saved yet, that Satan doesn't own, that's a lie. God wants that all of them should be saved, none should perish. But they have to see something better than what they have seen. They have to see something better than the dead superstructure church without Christ. Might even have some good works, but without the Lord in it doesn't mean a thing. It's a wrong spirit with it. Then they have to see more than people just praising the Lord. That's good. But do something and then praise the Lord that it worked out. Then they'll say, you know what, that is really the way. This is what the church should have been doing a long, long time ago, they'll say. What an opportunity that we live in right now to show people the way. We're in an age of perplexity, the Bible says, an age where there seems to be no way out. We have the way out. We have Christ. Christ is the way out of here. There's no way out of this planet Earth. No other way than receiving the way Jesus. This time that we started to preach about the way, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 19 and 9 it says of telling about the way, in Acts 19 and 23 a great commotion arose over the way. Are we causing a great commotion? I want to cause a commotion. Even in the natural, I guess I was sort of a troublemaker. But now I'd like to put it to work for the Lord. Are we causing a great commotion? You're not going to cause a commotion by sitting at home. I don't care all the excuses you want to find. You're not going to cause any kind of a commotion. Well, we're supposed to be peaceful and gentle and kind, but there's a time to be fierce for the Lord. It's a time to tell people the truth. And it says in the Bible, and the truth shall set them free. Now, one time you might see an alcoholic and you just have all the love and so on like that and tenderness and soft-spoken. Then again, when the Holy Spirit moves on you, you might come after that tooth and toenail and say, hey, there's a better way. You have to be led by the Holy Ghost. But what does the way, capital W, mean? We say it means the way of salvation, and that's true. It is a way of salvation. It's God's way of sending Christ to die for us, redeeming us, living in our hearts by the Spirit. Well, why aren't you talking about baby Jesus? Because it's 2,000 years ago. That's where they keep Jesus, in a crib or on a flannel board or on a blackboard. They don't believe that he's real and that he's powerful and that all things were made through him. Everything that has been made, ever will be made, is made through Christ. It says in the original Greek, glued together. Every molecule of your body was made through Christ and it's held together by that. Whew. Whoa. Oh, it's living in our hearts by the Spirit. It is the way of God because it is the way of from God. It is the way of salvation. But the Scripture doesn't say it is the way to salvation. It says it is the way, period. Jesus, in other words, is salvation. There is no salvation under any other name. Saving the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the way. It's the Christian way. It is the way, period. I want to put that across strong today. There is no other way. You can try all the other ways, and you got to come back to the way. It is the way to everything. Well, that's a few things I can think if I can do on my own. They'll fail. Because it is the way to feel, it is the way to act, and it is a way to think. And a lot of times as Christians, we forget about that. And we start feeling on our own. Well, how do you feel? Put the coffee pot on. I'll tell you about it. Got a half hour, got an hour, got a whole day. And we sit around patronizing one another's flesh, talking about how we feel, and the world is going to hell. We're wasting time. Now, on a job, you couldn't do that. You couldn't get a whole group, and the boss comes over and says, what are you doing? Well, I'm talking about how I feel. Well, how's this? You're going to get a boot right in the seat of the pants. Now, how does that feel? But it is the way to everything, the way that we act. Now, you better pray before you go out of the house. You ain't even going to act right. Well, you'll start out right. You say, today I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to be a nice guy. Won't last long. It's the way to think. It says in the Bible that our minds must be washed by the water of the Word. Oh, I hear the radio audience saying, this is too religious for me. It's too fanatical. But are you happy going your way? Isn't there a song like that? Going my way? See, there's a lot of ways. But there's only one way. Well, is the way to be in every circumstance? It is, whether you like it or not. Is the way to be in every situation? It is, whether you like it or not. In every situation, the way is there. Well, is the way in every relationship? Yes, whether you like it or not. The way is in every relationship, in every situation, every circumstance. And we cannot advance until we are on the way. We can go sort of sidestepping, and we can kind of get this way and go this way and go that way, and we can kind of drunkenly walk it down the road. But that is not the way. The way, it says, that way is death. The end therein is death. You cannot go any further than your nose on any other way, saving the Lord. You'll end up being, I guess so's. You'll end up in futility. And I'm talking to a radio audience today and a tape ministry also today. And I'm looking out there and I'm seeing people living in futility. One day after the next, they're two martini high. That's as high as you can go. You get up there and down you go. You peek out and then you freak out. There's only one high that you can get on. That is the Lord, but that just takes a little bit of understanding. You have to be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and start to walk in the things of the Lord. And I thought to myself, why are people so faded? I believe it's because they don't have the red blood of certainty flowing through their veins. There's a very uncertain spirit in the world today. People are uncertain about their children. They're uncertain about their mate. They're uncertain about their job. They're uncertain about the banks. They're uncertain about their government. And they don't have that red blood of certainty running through their veins. Because if they had a certainty, it would cause fruit. Fruit of love and joy and peace and power and a fruit of works. Not because those works will get you to heaven, but they just naturally come out. When you're certain of what you're doing, when you've heard from the Lord, and you're certain of what God has called you to do, oh, then you have that fruit of that certainty. And there's one thing for certain. If you're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to go to heaven. That should just make you so happy. All the other things should be secondary. But I find that the colors in which they have dyed life have run. They were not the fast. They were not the bold. They were not the bold colors, let's say. And in the downpour of calamity, and in the downpour and the stress of living in the flesh, They have faded to a sickly gray. How many are hearing this? The only way to restore these colors is to seek the Lord, and you'll have that gaiety of life. Jesus then must be first. A purpose in your life. How many people are walking around with no purpose? They don't even know what they're going to do from one day to the next. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? It's your turn to say. I don't know. What do you want to do? Back and forth. Uncertain about where they should have their holiday. Big deal. Give your holiday to the Lord. There's another song, Happy Holiday. Most holidays are miserable. Without the Lord, they're miserable. I remember in the service, I was having a Christmas away from home, and I was miserable. Didn't have the Lord. But even at home, without Jesus, it is a miserable time. Isn't it? No direction. Because the way isn't in the circumstance, the way isn't in the situation, and the way isn't in your relationships. Well, it's to be sure that they're on the way. That's what's got to happen. Our souls need a blood bath to cleanse us of all fears. No, there's so many people with fears. Oh, they can be the jovial. I was a happy guy. Oh, he's so funny and happy. And woo-hoo, golly Joe, it's so much fun to have. I was so full of fears, I was shaking in my jeans. Say amen. You see the smarty pants people, and they're shaking in their jeans. They're fearful. So they got to put on a mask. And I'm talking about myself. I'm sure all of you can relate with that. That we have fears. Why? We're not on the way. What is the way? Give hilariously. Now you're on the way. There's a lot of people holding back in that. I don't know. I don't understand. Huh? How many are hearing this today? It's a fear of not making it tomorrow that takes you off of the way. And then you get into fighting and bickering and you get evil. But we must all know there is a way and that we are upon that way, and that'll give you peace. No matter what the circumstance, you say, hey, I'm on the way. And if this happens on the way, and that happens on the way, and this happens on the way, I'm going to stay on the way. I'm not going to deviate to the left or to the right. I'm not going to put down the plow, but I'm on the way, and glory to God, if I keep on the way, that's all I have to worry about. Staying on the way. And doesn't it say that all things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose? So if things happen to you while you're on the way, so what? Well, I'm on the way. Nothing's going to stop me. I'm on the way. But you can sit down and get into yourself and get out of the way. And sit and worry and sit and get guilty and sit and get frustrated and just sit and get mean and cantankerous and oh, who cares? Huh? That is not the way. I had enough of that before I was saved. And no way will I go that way. Because knowing this gives us a peace and a power and a victory and a joy. When we were going through hard times in the ministry here, it seems like we're going through them all the time, and praise God for it too, because all things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. I'm glad for them. Because you're getting battle hardened. When them darts come, they don't go into your flesh. They just sort of peek They go in there and they're just hanging all over your body. You don't even feel them. Just walking around, giving God the glory. How many are hearing this today? Oh, how we need to hear it. Now, here's George down here. He's cleaning up, and he's, boy, this is fun. I thought to myself, that is spoken by a man that is on the way. While he's on the way, there's a little job of doing the janitoring down here. So he just does that. We're being a mother or being a father. And what kind of a mother and what kind of a father are we sometimes? Huh? But the way is written in the universe, and God has natural laws, I find, in just gravity and so on. You can fight them, but they're still there, just like the way is. Because the heavens and the moral law is within each person, saved or unsaved. Shouldn't that be proof enough? There is a moral code and a moral law within each person. And when we break that moral code and that moral law, we get old and we get haggard and we get gray. Not saved or unsaved, we know right from wrong instinctively. You watch two little kids, they're both playing. Now, don't you hit Johnny and don't you hit Susie. And they'll turn around. They can barely hold their necks up and they'll turn around. Wham! And they poke them right in the chops. They know they're doing wrong before they do it. It's built in. It's built in. It's right inside of you. Now, you mix the ingredient of getting saved there, saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and the convicting light of the Lord comes in, you're going to know in advance. You're going to know in advance. God will speak to you not to do this, not to do that in advance, maybe even a day ahead of time, a week or year. How many are hearing this message today? Speaking about the way. In Psalm 42 and verse 1, let's go through 7. As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for thee, O God. I know that feeling. Panting for the Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And a lot of people have that thirst and they don't even know what it is. So they go out and John Barleycorn it all night. Or they have their drugs, or they have their sex, or they have their whatever they have. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember. And I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng. I used to go along, in other words, with all them other people. Lead them in a procession. Then it goes on. To the house of God with a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Did you ever have despair and you have to ask your soul? Well, you question yourself once in a while. Say, why are you feeling this way? Get up! A woman called me today. I didn't sleep all night. Well, I wouldn't have said this, but I'd been saying this to her for 13 years. I said, stop bawling. Go on in and wash your face and get ready for church. Good day. Get on the way. No, isn't that the truth? But that was such a stern word. Hey, don't you give your kids a stern word? I don't want to go to school. Get going. Wash your face and get to school. Okay. Doesn't that shock them into that? It'll either make them mad, it'll make them glad, they'll get up and they will do something. God, how the church needs to do something. So I'd sit around and bawl. it that Christians are so afraid to talk to one another about the way? If I got people and they come in and they sit down all day long, they want to sit down here and we're trying to get ready and so on, get serve people and they want to loiter. Even in the world they say, no loitering. I just say, no sitting. You want to work, you're welcome to stay here. If you don't want to work, you got to get out. Isn't it good to be plain like that instead of talk behind people's backs? Has nothing to do with spirituality. You're just telling people to get on the way. Straighten up and fly right. And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. Oh, God. I thank the Lord for pulling me out. Just at the midnight hour, God pulled this church out again this year. Last year, they came in. I was on the way. I stayed on the way. I had the eviction papers. We had 38 hours to go, and God came through. Two weeks ago, faced with another dilemma, God answered prayer. Hallelujah. We came into his presence for the help of his presence, hallelujah. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, and I praise him. We'll get by with a little help from our friends, so don't stop giving. You got to help a little bit, friends. You out there on the radio? I know I'm being bold, and I know I'm going to be misunderstood. I don't care. God came here and he was misunderstood, wasn't he? They put him on it. God! They crucified! I think that's the height of misunderstanding, don't you? After working all them miracles, they said if you were to fill all the libraries in all the world, you couldn't do it. And still, they didn't believe. Therefore, I remember thee from the land of the Jordan, and from the peaks of Hermon, and from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to the deep. At the sound of thy waterfalls, deep inside of you, there's a calling out for the deepness of God. All thy breakers and all thy waves had rolled over me. Wow. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night, and the prayer to the God of my life. Ooh. How many are hearing this today? There is a way, I said. And there is also a not the way. Do one and you'll get results, and do the other and you'll get consequences. I thought I could break the moral law and go out and booze and secretly booze and do all those things. I thought I could do that. And take a little bit of drugs and so on like that to keep me going. I thought, well, I can do that. I could just break a little bit of the law. Until I was shaking so bad, I couldn't even navigate. I suffered the consequences for a choice. I'm going to go talk to a fellow today. Dying. He said, you know something? I was just as healthy as could be, and all of a sudden, I just was ill. What was wrong? The liver was gone. Beautiful person. Got saved here at a wedding. Is a consequence for a choice. But you do the other and you get results, I said. But everyone will find out that there is a God and they must come to terms with him. Well, one way or another, you're going to find out there's a God, just like I did. I'm talking again to mostly to the radio audience on this one and to the tape. Maybe you're in here today and you haven't come to Christ yet. There is a way. Praise the Lord. We need to get it on, folks. How many are hearing this today? We need not to be shy about talking about the way. Isaiah 30, let's start in verse 9. For this is a rebellious people, false sons. Sons who refuse to listen. He's talking about sons, born-againers. Sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, you must not see visions, and to the prophets, you must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant things. Pleasant words. Prophesy illusions. Now, if you truly have the Spirit of the Lord and someone is prophesying illusions, you'll know it. You won't try to be spiritual and say, wow, is this just so wonderful, when you know it's an illusion. And it has to, in some measure up to the person's life. Get out of the way. There's the way again. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, since you have rejected this word, and you have put your trust in oppression and guile, and have relied on them. Therefore, his iniquity will be to you like a breach about to fall, a bulge in a high wall, whose collapse comes suddenly and in an instant. That's a bulge in the wall, and you're working back and forth by this wall, and you can't trust it. At any time, it's going to be a sudden fall. Oh, hey, I just wanted to hear a little Christmas message. Jingle bells, jingle bells. Hey, this is a time for rejoice. This is a time to tell the truth, folks. Isn't it? Isn't it the time to tell the truth? My God, people are perishing all over, and we have the way. We have the Lord. Isaiah 35. And 1 through 10, listen now. The wilderness and the desert will be glad. And Araba will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will blossom profusely and rejoice with rejoicing and shouts of joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon. And they shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Wow. Encourage the exhausted. And there's so many exhausted people out there. And strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage and fear not. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance. The recompense of God will come. He will save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. And the lame, it says, will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall shout for joy, hallelujah. And the waters will break forth in the wilderness, and the streams of Arab. And the scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water, and in the haunt of the jackals its resting place. Hallelujah. God is coming. There is a spiritual, if you will,
glory to God, a greeting up in the hearts of the true Christian to do a work for the Lord, and God is putting within them a peace. In the midst of all this turmoil, they are going to be able to show that there is a way. The grass, it says, becomes reeds and rushes, and the highway will be there. There is the way again. The highway will be there, a roadway. A roadway, not a little path. God is making and bulldozing a road for all those that want to listen to His voice. And it says it will be called a highway of holiness. Now, holiness doesn't come all by yourself. You've got to be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. You've got to be seeking the Lord. And God is going to pour down a spirit of holiness and a desire to become holy, and then He's going to give you the ability to become holy. For Christ in you by the Holy Spirit will be magnified to such a degree if you'll recognize that you have to die to yourself today. Get that tape from Friday night. I think it would be important. It shows you how to die. And there'll be plenty of people to help you along. Okay? But it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that, and here it is, way. And fools will not wander on it, nor will the lion be there. Wow. But the redeemed will walk there, and the ransom of the Lord will return. Now, there's a lot of us that have left Christ in degrees. Well, we're not as dedicated as we used to be. But you're going to return. Now, I didn't say that. The Bible does. The Bible says it. You will return. Now, maybe in your attitude has been wrong. Now, you don't have to worry. God is going to cause it to happen. You're going to return. Maybe you're going to go there with your arms and legs up in the air. You're going to be in cash. You're going to be in the hospital. Maybe lumps on your head. I don't know how you're going to get there, but God's going to do it. You see, salvation is of the Lord. God is going to call back His people, and all the backsliders are going to be called back in. And it says the low, base, perverted things of this world will be raised up to confound the wise. And the ransomed of the Lord will return. Friends, God is calling people back. And come, it says, with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads. Now, isn't that the joy that you want? And isn't that the joy that you're going to... I didn't say this. The Bible said it. And it says God is going to call us all back. Now, some of us in degrees, I said, have not been with the Lord in our attitudes. Oh, I hate this, and I don't like this, and I want this boyfriend, and want that. I got to have a man. I got to have a man. I got to have a man. Got to have a girl. Got to have a girl. Huh? But Jesus says, I'm going to call you all back. That's okay to have a girl and have a man. But if they're first, and if the wife is first, or the husband's first, or your little thing is first, or your hobby is first, or your little thing is first, God said, I'm going to call you back. And if you won't come, I'll get you back. Now, when you go out to get your kids and they're running out into the street, how do you get them back? Please don't run. I've heard these people psychoanalyze a two-year-old kid. This makes me sick. Now, Junior, according to Dr. Spook, you shouldn't be doing that. Now, I want to reason with you, child. If you go out into the streets, these large automobiles spelled, and they spell it out for the kid, you know, and everything, you know, and show them little cards and all this instead of giving them a paddle and putting them back up on the road. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
Why not be real? Oh, you know, why do you have to, you know, go out and talk like that? Just say, get back in there, get in there. That's what God's going to do. I don't know if I like that. Is that love? Now, nowadays, you dare even spank your kid or tell them, when you get home, you're going to get a spanking. They'll turn you in for child brutality. And those very people are aborting their kids. Huh? Who's mixed up? Say amen, somebody. Now, I know this ain't very popular preaching, but it's the truth, isn't it? And you know what it says? The truth will set people free. Some get so free, they don't come back again. That's all right. Go someplace else. At least I'm not guilty of not giving the way out and the word out. What good is a preacher if he just gets up and just smiles and got his hair all slicked down and everything, got a tie on and everything? You know what I mean? Juan's down in the basement and says, give me a double whiskey and a water wash. What good is that? My God, that's terrible. They got them. They got bars right down inside of them churches. Have them bingo bango games down in there and them bazaars, and they go in there and puke in the urinals and everything else. Said it, and I'm glad. Well, it is the truth, you know. Say amen, somebody. Oh, good. Said it, and I'm glad. Let's get some more scripture here. Isaiah 24, 4 and 5. The earth, it says, mourns and withers. And isn't it withering? And the world fades and withers. And isn't it fading and withering? Go on downtown Minneapolis. It's just kind of like the buildings are sort of droopy gray. You know, they're just sort of... Huh? It's not safe to walk down there. Uh-uh. You got to have fixed bayonets going down Hennepin Avenue. And take an army with you. Send a scout ahead of you. See if it's okay. People go in a bar down there, you take, oh man, this is full of demons down there. It always was, but it's more demons down there now than ever. You go in the bathroom. I went into a bathroom and they had the thing so close that you had to walk in like this. And I thought, uh-uh. Somebody come up and bang me on the head and kill me. It's dangerous. Of course, if you died in the world like that, they'd say that was you died of natural causes. That's how perverted it is out there. Huh? And the earth, it says, mourns and withers, and the world fades and withers. The exalted of people of the earth fade away. That's the exalted ones that were exalted and praised. They fade away. I don't want to be great in this world. I'm not even particularly interested in being popular, a popular preacher. I just want to tell the truth. You tell the truth, you're not popular. Look what happened to Jesus. Let's go on to verse 5 here. The earth is also polluted by its inhabitants. Now, this is written way long time ago. In Isaiah, prophesying. The earth is also polluted by its inhabitants. For they have transgressed the laws, violated the statute, broke the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse devours the earth. What are we seeing right now? We are seeing a curse. A curse in Africa. A curse in Russia. A curse in China. A curse in the Middle East. A curse in Norway and in Sweden with all the different pornographic things and in all the world. And the United States is seeing a curse. Now, you listening on the radio, you got a husband who goes out and runs around, don't know what he's done that night, you better have him have a checkup. He might come home with a herpes or some other disease. Say amen, somebody. Now they even joke about herpes. They have to. There's so many of them. Say amen, somebody. Therefore, a curse devours the earth, and those who live in it are held guilty. Wow, that's a heavy word, isn't it? Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. We are about to enter World War III. We are about to enter the Battle of Armageddon. It's only going to take some nut that's mad at his wife, or a wife, a Miz, yeah, they Miz it all right. A Miz in charge to push a button that will start the whole thing. The new wine mourns. I'm talking about the new wine of the Spirit. And the vine decays, and the merry-hearted sigh, and the gaiety of the tambourines ceases. Now, it says in the Bible that during the end, the pharmacia, pharmakia, in the Greek and Latin, talking about pharmacy, talking about drugs, will so drug up the musicians that they will cease to play. And even now they just play automatically. Huh? That's why they play so loud. They're not playing anything at all. In fact, they hate their crowds. The noise of the revelers stops. Every bar is going to become silent. Every whorehouse is going to become silent. The gaiety of the harp ceases. They do not drink wine with their song. Strong drink, it says, is bitter to those who drink it. The city of chaos is broken down. Aren't our cities being broken down? Aren't they? Every house, it says, is shut up and none may enter. There's going to be so much fear. People are going to double lock, triple lock. Click, 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 click. Click, 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 click. Say amen, somebody. How many of you in here locking up your doors and checking them four or five times, make sure that all them bolts is locked? Somebody will come up there with a chainsaw and saw the whole doorway out. If they want to get in, they'll get in. Devil's getting bold, and preachers, you better get bold. If you're listening to me on the radio right now and come up against this thing, I'll tell you right now, it's a hideous dang thing. Say amen, somebody. What you got to do, see, is just take the devil's chainsaw and take it away from him and chase him down the road. Yeah? Every house is shut up so none may enter. There is an outcry, it says, in the streets concerning wine. And all joy turns to gloom. No musicians, they can't play. Everything's gone wrong. Most of the population, a greater part of the population, is diseased. What's there to sing about? Famine, it says, and pestilence will come. How many hearing this? What's there then to sing about? No instruments, no playing. The houses are all shut up. Nobody can trust one another. People aren't ministering to people about the way out. They don't know there's a way out. No jobs, no banks, no Social Security. And you know what I say to all that? Good. Double, triple good. Because now people have got to turn to the Lord. And besides that, being a believing Christian, it says all things are working together for good for them that love the Lord. It's all for good. God is in charge. It says all the joy of the world turns to gloom and the gaiety of the earth is banished. What does that mean? That means you are not allowed to laugh. What's that in there? Someone laughing? What are you laughing about? Everybody's suspicious of one another. So, you know, so it's kind of like when you get a little psycho, you know. And people come in, you go into your office, you're going to a place of work, and people are laughing. And they just look over there, you're not in it. Well, they must be laughing about me. And people are going to be so freaked out that they're going to banish all gaiety. What? Well, I'm going to laugh. If they put a bullet through my head, I'm going to die laughing. Say amen, somebody. Desolation, it says, is left in the city, and the gate is battered to ruins, and thus it will be in the midst of the earth among the peoples as the shaking of an olive tree, as the gleaning of the grape of harvest. They raise their voices and they shout for joy. They cry out in the west concerning the majesty of the Lord. Therefore glorify the Lord in the east, in the name of the Lord God of Israel, in the coastlands of the sea, from the ends of the earth, we hear songs, glory to the righteous one. And the Christian's time right now is to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and to magnify his name and to see his wonderful works and his fruits come forth from the Christian. Hallelujah. But I say, woe to me, woe to me, alas to me. The treacherous deal treacherously, and the treacherous deal very treacherously. That's a double thing there. When people get treacherous, they're not only going to be treacherous, they're going to be double treacherous. Says that mother's going to turn against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Son against the father and father against the son, and there's going to be treachery. See, we got to get our act together, get ready for this last onslaught. Terror and pit and snare confront you, O inhabitant of the earth. And then it will be that he who flees report of disaster will fall into the pit. And he who climbs out of the pit will be caught in the snare, and the windows above thee are opened, and the foundations of the earth will shake, it says, and the earth is broken asunder, and the earth is split through, and the earth reels to and fro like a drunkard. For its transgression is heavy upon it. So it will happen in that day, the Lord will punish the host of heaven on high and the kings of the earth on the earth, and they will gather together like prisoners in the dungeon, and they will be confined in the prison, and after many days will be punished. Then the moon will be abashed and the sun ashamed, and the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion of Jerusalem, and his glory will be before his elders, our God. Praise the Lord, our God is coming. And our God is coming soon. Isn't that exciting? In Psalm 25 and 10 it says, all the paths, the way, all the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. And then in verse 8 through 11 of Psalm 32. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. Now listen carefully. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. God's watching. Do not be as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose trappings include a bit and a bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, the Lord says, they will not come near you, many sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, in the loving kindness of him, shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. If you're saved today, you should be about the most happiest person that ever was. Saying here today, don't try to manipulate your life. Find out what it wants. Find out what the Lord wants. Humble yourself, or you will be humbled. You will be humbled. You will be humbled. Surrender to God and get results, or suffer the consequences. Because God is. That's all you have to say. God is. Well, why did this happen? And why did that happen? And why does this happen? Because God is. That's all I can say. But I don't understand. Why did this happen? I want to reason this out. Don't try to reason it out. God is. I mean, that's like an ant shaking his fist at God. Well, what's ever going on? You know what I mean? God is like Christ. I am. And the Bible says we must be like Christ. Whew. How many are hearing this? But anyway, the way is written in you, and you can't escape yourself, can you? The way is written right on the inside. It's written in there. How many people try to escape, and then they'll try one other little miserable trick. No, that didn't work. And they'll try another little miserable route. What's missing? And they know. They just don't want to admit it. They just get more miserable and more miserable and more miserable, and pretty soon their whole face is sagging down. How many hearing this? And that can happen as Christians. All the time it does. I'll try this little way, and I'll try. Let's see. Oh, that didn't work. And we know the way. And we know that we must be on the way, but we leave it all the time. Well, I don't know. And we'll find something wrong with some Christians. Hey, if you're looking for a perfect church and you find it, don't go in there because you'll ruin it. Don't go in there. This is not a perfect church. Or you wouldn't even have to come to church, would you? Huh? I'm not perfect. I got a lot of faults, but God's using me anyway because I'm available. I guess I'll have to use Paul. At least he's available. Choose me! It isn't real hard because nobody else wants to do the type of work we're doing down here. Oh, golly, well, we'll just have to work it out with him, I guess. That's the way it is, isn't it? Isn't it? I guess so. No, it's the way it is. Period. I just got done saying it. God is. Ooh. You cannot escape it. World, if you're listening to this radio message or to this tape, radio audience. Half of them are sleeping. You wake somebody up? Good. Okay, I'm awake. Good. Stay awake now. But the way is written in you, and I find you that the whole world is a preacher. By not going the way, they reveal the not the way. They are doing a tremendous job of preaching not the way. And it's revealing the way. And the mental institutions, in the jails, in the school. What school? What school? Kids come out, can't even read or write. Isn't it being revealed? They are actually revealing the way by revealing not the way. It makes our truth more potent. Look at the heavy message they preach. Poverty and incest, rebellion and unlove and murder and war and prostitution and pestilence, unrest and unhappiness. Doesn't that tell a story? They are learning that that is not the way to go. Right? It says, judge not the world, for the world is already under judgment. In other words, don't worry, it'll show up. And some people like to join the world once in a while. Well, I don't know. Boy, if he ever calls me again, I'll just tell him, hey, you know, I'm a Christian. I don't go for that. Ring. Hello. Oh, sure. What? Oh. 15 minutes? Okay. Huh? Why didn't you witness on the phone? That would have killed that thing. That would have killed it.
Well, I don't know. I was out in this car, and one thing led to another. I said,
why didn't you witness?
What? What?
Why didn't you say, hey, get your hands off my body. This is the temple of God. And that little squirt would have been driving you home quick. Ooh, I never thought of it that way. Huh? Did you know that Jesus loves you? See, not the way. Followers end up with the consequences of broken homes, suicide, hate, rebellion, war, tension, frustration, nervous breakdowns, and sickness. Choose your consequence or get your results, but one way or another, the way will have its way. I know that. Because I tried to go against the way and it does not work. In John 14 and 5 it says, and Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are. And we do not know where you are going, it says. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Woo. But are we finding out how not to live? Yeah. There is a law of all being, and that law is to be Christian. All life is a choice between the way or not the way. And the choice confronts us in every act, in every feeling. And every time we do anything, it refers to the individuals and nations and to the smallest or to the largest. Because nothing else ever matters but to get on the way. I read a little story about these rats, and they would have all these little places for them to go, and they'd go sniffing around through these little chambers. And then they'd touch a little electric thing. Get on their nose, and they'd get a shock, see? They found out which way to go by shocks. And that's the way we have to find out which way to go is by shocks. Now, if you came in here to get Shakespeare, we don't give it here. We give Shakespeare. Okay? And we have to go through these little things and... Huh? Well, all I'm supposed to do is give you the word and give you the, show you the way and point you the way and get you saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and you end up going your own way anyway, right? But you belong to the Lord. You know what's going to happen? Well, you don't. Neither do I. I know one thing. God's going to get you on the way one way or another. says he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. When you're laying in there with your legs up in here and your arms up in there with casts on. Ooh. How many are hearing this message today? Well, you say, well, will my life only work out God's way? I read where Edison tried 1,100 times different experiments and that they all turned out to be failures. And you say, well, boy, he wasted a lot of time. No, he didn't waste a lot of time. He found out 111 ways not to do things. I had some people come to me and they said, well, now, just exactly how did you repair this building? Or just exactly how did you get the food ministry going and so on like that? I said, well, I can save you a lot of time. I can tell you about 1,000 ways not to do things. And then, you can go ahead and do them anyway, but at least I'll tell you not to do this, not to do that, because it won't work. Well, you say, is that like us? I say, yes. We're finding out how not to live. I'm finding that out every day. I'm finding out ways of how I'm not to live. Have you found out this week some different ways on how not to live? Well, then you're finding out how to live. Right? You can minister to people over and over and over, and you can minister to your kids too. They leave for 6 months and they come back home and say, gee, my parents got smart. Did they go to night school or something? Gee, they're not so dumb. And all the things that they taught us start coming back. I got things that my mother told me that were when I was just little. Never forget the first candy bar I got. I give some to your friend, and I broke it in half. And I looked at both sides, and one was way bigger than the other. Well, I knew that before I broke it. I was no dummy. My mother says, no, you give the biggest, always remember this, give the biggest part to your friend. My friend was standing there. Good advice, huh? But you know what? I never forgot that. When I seen the joy on that other kid there, it's something that stuck with me. I'm like, give your biggest share to your friend. Even though I thought that was dumb, I went ahead and I listened and I obeyed it. And I obeyed it the most of my life. And it's always worked out. I learned there's ways that you can't be, and I've learned more from not the ways than I have, Every day I'm finding things out about myself I hate. Oh, that's not the way. Did you take some little shoots this week and go not the way? And you thought you were so right when you did it? Put your helmet on straight and you had your gun and everything ready. Onward, Christian soldiers. And you marched right through someone and stepped over their face. Well, you got in the way. And you go home and you say, oh, God, that wasn't the way to do it. Huh? Or maybe you didn't do that, but it was in your mind. Good morning. Wait. Oh, hi. Huh? And then God starts dealing with you with your attitudes. You're free of, you're holding back, you're a good soldier, you're in check and everything, but you're still, now he's dealing on the inside. No, man, you no way you can take care of the inside. God has to do that. Because you're going to have murderous thoughts in your head. You mean a person that's saved and everything and filled with the Holy Spirit and speaks in tongues and things like that?
Yeah, the way is going to deal with you until the day you die. But you see, you can't evade it. You may have the first word, but God will always have the last word. Even your children, don't they have the first word sometimes? Will you go in and make that room up like I told you? Why do I have to make it up? How about her? You're never going to have to her to make her room up. Okay, you had the first word. I'm going to have the last. Huh? Oh, doesn't that feel good sometimes as a parent to have the last word? I admit it. Say amen. Doesn't God have the last word? The final word? God is not wishy-washy when he gives you the final word. Now, you know, parents, they'll tell their kids about 15 times.
Now, how many times do I have to tell you?
Well, how many times do you have to tell that kid? Why don't you get a little action behind what you're saying? Kid doesn't take you seriously. You told him 15 times. Oh, I'll go for 16 this time. See, all you can do is break yourself on God's word. And the prejudiced people, they will be broken. You can jump off a 20-story building, I'm saying. You will not break the law of gravitation. You will only illustrate it. God, right now, I'm telling you people, God's laws are preventive grace. Just like I said, the electric shocks on your nose. God is trying to shock us into the right way. And right now you're seeing horrendous things. Abortion. Why? 20 years ago, you'd never, 10 years ago, you'd never heard of such a thing. Right? People living together, not married. You never heard of that. Isn't that right? I'll never forget, I was driving down the highway, and this was 20-some years ago, and there was a woman waiting for a bus, and she had a cigarette, and I thought, oh, that looks awful. Oh! That's about 25 years ago. Now they got cigars. You've come a long way, baby. They got a pinstripe suit on, and one of them Fearless Fosdick hats and a tie, great big long pointed ugly shoes, and they look more like a man than a man does. Homosexuals, I'll ask you something today. Do you think the way you're going is right? No, the moral law is within you. You know it's wrong. You've got a lot of people going along with that, but you're miserable. And you that are thinking about going that way, don't do it. A guy started to tell me about the awful things he was seeing on cable TV. He says, and then I say, hey, I don't want to hear it. I'm grown up. I know the anatomy of a body. I know people. I don't know myself, and I don't want to hear it because it'll get stuck up in my brain. And I says, you know how all that will happen to you? You allowed the snake to come into your house, that big, long, black snake that's going all over Minneapolis and St. Paul. Comes into your house. But he couldn't shut up. He had to tell me the whole gory thing. Now, every time I see that guy, I'll think of that. Because humanity is finding out how not to live the hard way. Because God offers us the way through Christ Jesus. And we think we know a better way, a shorter way, and we end up getting shocks. The shocks of insanity lost in the maze. The shock of drugs, and you lose your mind and you don't know where you're at. The shock of booze, All of a sudden, your liver is gone. Your brain is pickled. Your hands won't move the way they're supposed to. The shocks of bitterness and lonesomeness and defeat and depression. No sleep and prison. Guilt, inferiorities, fears of all kinds. And then we have modern society that says, oh, there's no hell. They put it out the door and it comes right back in the window again. Now it's moved into the inside of people in inner conflicts. And painfully, they're finding out how not to live. And they are ready to find out about the way. We have it. How many are hearing this? Let me read something here. Okay. Jeremiah 6 and 16 through 19. Thus saith the Lord, stand by the way, by the ways, and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Wow. And I set a watchman over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Therefore, it says, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, and behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people. The fruit of their plans, because they have not listened to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it also. I think, for the most part, we have not listened to the voice of the Lord, even in the church. And we're looking over there right now at Africa. We're looking at the hunger right here in our own country and worldwide. And God has spoken. God has says, go to the highways and the byways. God has says to reach out to the poor and to the needy. But you know what? We're bored with it. If I hear about one more poor person, I am going to vomit, you know? They're ruining my Christmas. Why don't they take that, you know, African thing off? They just ruin our Christmas. Turn the TV off. Get cable so we can get all the filth that we want. We don't have to look at that. It's an opportunity for the Church of Jesus Christ to really move right now. How many are hearing this? See, I'm talking about we're always trying to please self. And when we try to please self, you know, if there's an inreach, there's going to be an outreach. Hebrews 12 and 11 says, the peace of an upright life means that an upright life brings peace it's in cooperation and harmony with the Lord, but one that's out of harmony with God, unright life, are you hearing this? Brings you a disturbance, brings you a disharmony, brings you a disintegration, a discord. And Hebrews 12 and 15 says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. Oh, hey, we've got a challenge to do. That no root of bitterness grows up to be trouble. There is a little bit of root of bitterness in people. And they just keep that little bit of root there. Well, I'll forgive, but I can't forget. In the original Greek, it really says, when it says, I'll forgive you your sins, it really means, really says, I have forgotten all your sins. Ooh. But don't let that little root of bitterness spring up. You got to cut the root out. How many times have we thought, oh, I forgive that person. I really do. Well, it's the way they are. Stinkers. Then someone mentions their name and all of a sudden, How many people are living in bitterness?
And I don't care, man. They can smile and they can put on the sweetie deedy toot shoes act and all of that. But I know within myself there are roots that had to be cut out. How many got those roots? You know what I'm talking about. God, they're there. Didn't try to blame it on somebody else. Oh, if they'd only move out of town, I could be a great Christian. See, if you miss the grace of God, you'll become bitter, you'll become hard, you'll become cold. It takes the grace of God to help you to overcome that bitterness. I'm closing now. Jeremiah 17, 5 and 6. Thus says the Lord, curses is the man who trusts in mankind. Don't trust in a man. And makes flesh his strength. Did you ever go to work in your flesh? You get up in your flesh? The alarm rings? Flesh is your flesh and your attitudes, okay? Fleshiness. Oh, God, I need to get up. Got to look at that people again today. Got to look at my boss. I hate to open my eyes up. Oh, just let me sleep a little longer. Put it on snooze. Oh, God, help me. Those that worship God must worship Him in the Spirit and in truth. He will not listen to your flesh flashes. Oh, if she'd only move out of town. Oh, God. Oh, forgive me. I hate her. I hate my job. I hate my car. I hate this house. Huh? Hey, if you feel deliverance come, my God, grab a hold of it and go on out and get on the way. So you get up, a mass of flesh. Huh? You go towards the door. And you open the door up. And even all the birds stop singing. God, what is that? So you put on a pursy little face and you go on out there and you ain't fooling nobody. Nobody! God forgive me, that's me a lot of times. Is it you? Say amen. I've learned not to even open my eyes up before I say, God, give me grace. You know my heart's desperately wicked, and who can know it? Where was I? Jeremiah 17. Okay. Thus says the Lord, cursed is a man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength. Oh, you go to work in your flesh and you make it your strength, and it doesn't last long. Does it? The flesh starts rebelling. Doesn't it? The boss comes up. Did you get those orders out I asked you for the other day? And you just smiled as much as you're going to smile. Hey, doesn't someone else in this office have to do something besides me? Hey, did you get those papers right? I'm sick, do you understand? I'm sick of this! Doesn't last long. You'll show it. For he will be like the bush in the desert. You ever seen a bush in the desert? Isn't that a miserable looking sight? And will not see when prosperity comes. So many people are so wrapped up in their petty little peeves and their petty little flesh flashes and all that, when prosperity comes and knocks on their door, say, hey, got something good for you today.
And they're just sitting there and they're hey, didn't you hear there's something good for you? Opportunity is knocking. Go away. Can't you see I've had a hard day? Says they will not see prosperity when it comes. They're blinded to it. Okay, here it is. But we'll live in the stony wastes of the wilderness. A land of salt without inhabitant. Ooh. But it says, goes on, for he that will trust in the Lord will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by the stream and will not fear when the heat comes. And the heat is going to come. But its leaves will be green. See, it's not an outward thing. It's an inward thing. When everything is all dried up and all parched and everybody gets cantankerous and mean and all the guitars quit and all the bars closed, everybody's in despair and the wars and rumors of wars and mother against daughter and daughter against mother and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law and son against father and father against son and all that. What does it say? And its leaves will be green and he will be anxious, not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? And here's what the Lord says. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Okay, here it is, the finale. And I pray to God that you understand what I was saying here today. Will the universe back evil? In Peter 1 and 18 it says, ransom from the futile traditions of our past. What you've learned here today, it is an act of futility to go against God. It causes death, not only death, it causes decay. God right now is calling Christians to obedience and to sacrifice and to holiness. And the battle is on. I know there's a lot of things going on out there, even in the Christian world right now. And say, well, God has called us together. I think we can have sex together. God understands. He made you. You're a boy, right? Boy, boy, man. You, man. Me, Jane, Tarzan, you know, Sex given to God is love. Sex for self is decay. And a self-centered person, it says, passes away. God says, if you'll be God-centered and abide, you'll abide forever. How many heard my message here today? Can I read you a couple more pieces of scripture? Can you? Just a couple more. Jeremiah 12. Oh, and 4. Through, let's say, 13. How long is the land to mourn? We're in a mourning time. And the vegetation of the countryside to wither for the wickedness of those who dwell in it? Animals and birds, it says, have been snatched away. Because men have said, he will not see our latter ending. If you run with a footman and they have tried you out, tired you out. Listen to this now. Then how can you compete with horses? If you fall down in the land of peace, how will you do in the thicket of Jordan? For even your brothers and your household are your fathers, even they have dealt treacherously with you.
Even they have cried aloud after you. Do not believe them, although they may say nice things to you. I have forsaken my house. I have abandoned my inheritance. I have given the beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. My inheritance has become to me like a lion in the forest. She has roared against me. Therefore, I have come to hate her. Is my inheritance like the speckled bird of prey to me? Are the birds of prey against her on every side? So gather the beasts of the field. Bring them to devour. Many shepherds have ruined my vineyard. Let me tell you something. There have been a lot of shepherds that have not ministered the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they have not kept the vineyard. They have trampled down my field. They have made my pleasant field a desolate wilderness, a wilderness of claiming things, a wilderness of hyper-faith, a wilderness of sham, a wilderness of unbelief and unreality, and bored Christians that are bored out of their minds, waiting for another blessing to come their way. Oh, how are you, sister? I'm blessed. Because no man lays it to heart. On all the bare heights in the wilderness, destroyers have come, for the sword of the Lord is devouring. From one end of the land even unto the other, there is no peace for anyone. They have sown wheat and have reaped thorns. They have strained themselves to no profit. But be ashamed of your harvest. We have harvested a whole lot of weak Christians that are running around looking for a blessing for themselves, that do not want to become involved in the work of the Lord. It's the time to repent and turn around and give your heart to Jesus 100%, because you'll never be happy until you get all the way onto the way. Never, 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 never. Maybe you'll take this message and hear it here, and you won't, if you don't receive it here right now, you listening on the radio and you listening to the tape, if you don't receive it right now, you say, that sounds real good. I think I might try that. Try it right now. Not even try it right now. Receive it right now. Because you know what? You won't be the same person tomorrow. You'll wake up and your flesh will be a little harder and your heart will be a little harder. Oh, yesterday I was almost convinced, but hey, it's a bunch of nothing. And your heart will find more schemes and more plans and more ways to come against the way. The flesh cannot be satisfied. Are you hearing what I'm preaching here? You cannot satisfy your flesh. Never. I don't care if you get a million boyfriends or girlfriends or Cadillacs or houses or a car. You'll stand there and there'll be one little piece of something you want, and you'll get that, and you won't be satisfied. You can't satisfy it. There's only one way, friends. Give your heart to the Lord all the way. All the way. You can always tell somebody hasn't given their heart all the way to the Lord. They're miserable. I know when I haven't given my heart fully to the Lord, and one day, oh, hey, I'm dangerous. How about you? How many know you're dangerous outside of the grace of God? Walking time bombs. Never know when they're going to go off. You kind of tiptoe around them, see? Careful. Mother's a time bomb today. All of a sudden, she says, what are you searching about? Boom! That's it for today. Except to say one thing. Oh, I knew you'd have one more thing to say. God, you go on forever. I got one thing to say to evil. It's stupid. That wasn't no great big thing, but I had to say it. How many heard this word today? if you're sitting in here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you can know Him right now. Is there anyone here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Put your hand up. It's the end of the year now. Say, I don't know. Don't know. Praise the Lord. You can know Him today. Anyone else in here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? The way. Hallelujah. That's only one way. Ooh, I don't know everybody in here. Are you people born again? Oh, you came to the right place. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else that doesn't know Jesus today as their personal Savior? Anybody? The most important part of a preacher's message. If he doesn't minister the gospel, he might as well fold up and go home. I only have one thing really to tell people. Jesus Christ is Lord. And He'll have His way. Isn't that wonderful? Can I pray with you beautiful people here? Just pray with me and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. And now, Jesus, baptize and fill me with God's Holy Spirit. Give me wisdom and knowledge, peace, joy, and love. And Lord, a new language to praise Your holy name. Praise God, I'm saved and on the way. And no one can take that away from me. Amen. Amen. What's your names? Eddie. Eddie and
Sarah.
Eddie and Sarah. Do you live around here?
Yeah.
Oh, we're sure glad you came today. Praise the Lord, Eddie and Sarah. Let's hear it for Eddie and Sarah.